You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Friday, January 7th edition of the Daily Wager podcast. We'll set you up in 10 minutes, maybe a little bit more, with everything you need to know heading into this weekend's slate of games. Welcome to the Daily Wager podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated fantasy, daily fantasy app. All right, Anita Marks, Mike Clay with you. We've had some time off. Well, it was the holidays. Hope everybody had a great Christmas and Happy New Year from both Mike and I. Where do we sit right now? 212 right out of 371. So we're sitting at 57% on the season. Mike, not bad.
No, we'll take that. As long as we're profiting, we're working here, right? So it's pretty solid this year.
So let's continue and try to end the season strong. We'll be with you throughout the playoffs and, of course, leading into the Super Bowl as well. We must preface by saying, because of COVID-19, because it is week 18, you know, there are teams out there that are playing for a lot. There are teams out there that are playing for very little, and there's teams out there playing for nothing. Therefore, and there's not a lot of transparency. So a lot of these prop bets that we're going to be discussing, many of them, the odds and the lines have not been posted yet, but we're going to share with you, at least I am, what I'm looking for. So just keep that in mind. And so first and foremost, Mike, let's start with the Saturday games and Kansas City going up against Denver. As we know, no Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's out. So Darrell Williams over 14.5 rushing attempts. Whenever CEH is out, Williams gets the bulk of the work in that backfield. So that's one of the prop bets that I like. Another one is Chris Jones logging a sack. Now, there are a lot of incentives this week for a number of players. One is for Chris Jones. He's one sack away of making a $1.25 million bonus. So I do believe that he does get that sack. The Denver Broncos are going to be with their second or third string quarterback, and also they're going to be missing a few offensive linemen. So the over 14.5 rushing attempts is out. The Chris Jones sack is not. I don't believe that it will show up until Sunday, but definitely keep an eye out for that. What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of incentives on the line this week, and I'm going to talk about one of them later when we get to the Rams to see if we should fade it or go for it. So it's always an interesting dynamic in the last week of the year.
Cowboys going up against the Eagles. The Eagles, 12 players came down with COVID this week. Not sure how many of them have two negative tests prior to Saturday, as well as the fact that the Eagles really not a lot to play for. The sixth or seventh seed really is a coin toss. I do believe that they're going to be resting some players. A few prop bets I'm going to keep an eye out for, and that is Ezekiel Elliott. I want to go under rushing yards. Also, I want to go Gainwell in the backfield for the Eagles. You've got Miles Sanders. We know he's out because of the hand injury. Boston Scott is one of the players that was listed on the COVID list. So I think Gainwell very well could be the lead back there. So I'm looking at rushing attempts as well for him, hoping that posts with a reasonable number. And I'm curious if Gardner Minshew is going to get the start. I think a lot of people underestimate Gardner Minshew, Mike. And if he does get the start, I think those numbers will be low. And if they are, like, I'd play over 1.5 touchdown passes. I'd play over 195 passing yards. So I guess I'm a big Gardner Minshew fan, and I think he's underestimated. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye, though, because if he is out, if Jalen Hurts doesn't play, it probably means Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert doesn't play, guys like that. So it could be a, you know, quick game, low volume game on Saturday. And again, we may not know if Hurts is going to play until 90 minutes before the game, so we may not get a prop on the books there. So that's going to be one to keep an eye on.
Cincinnati and Cleveland, I'm going Nick Chubb under Of course, you've got Hunt back in action in that backfield. So more of a 50-50 split. Also, the Green Bay Packers, again, we're talking about incentives. Preston Smith, again, very similar to Jones with the Kansas City Chiefs. Preston Smith, if he records a sack, it's another $750,000 bonus. If he records three sacks, Mike, it's a $1.25 million bonus on top of the $750,000. So I think Preston Smith is going to pin his ears back, and I think he's going to get after the Detroit Lions this week. Washington and the Giants. We know Antonio Gibson is dealing with a hip issue, if it's another dose of Patterson, again, I'm going to be looking at those rushing attempts, and I'll go over. Also, Jake Fromm expected to get the start for the Giants. Therefore, Galladay, I will go under in receiving yards for him. That's what I'm keeping an eye on. Any of those interest you as well?
It looks like Antonio Gibson will be a full go, so I'm going to stay away from Patterson. With you on Galladay, though, we're not going to have Kadarius Toney, but you just can't trust him right now. Then again, that line, if it comes out, might be 19 and a half or something, you know, maybe 15 and a half. It's been a mess for not only Galladay, but pretty much all of the free agent wide receivers from last year. Think about Will Fuller, Curtis Samuel. Neither of them are going to even play this week and have barely played this season. It just was not a good crop, and Galladay certainly on that list.
Let's take a look at the Colts and the Jags. I'm all about Carson Wentz this week, as well as Michael Pittman. I'm going to be using them in DFS. I'm going to be stacking them as well. Probably one of my favorite quarterback plays this week. So I'm going Wentz over 1.5. Here, these are some of the prop bets that are out there, thank God. Carson Wentz over 1.5 touchdown passes, over 213.5 passing yards. Pittman over 55.5 receiving yards as well. In regard to the Jags, Laquon Treadwell, love the chemistry that has been established between him and Trevor Lawrence. He's getting the bulk of the targets. So I'm going over 50.5 receiving yards for him. I know you have a play in this matchup as well.
Yeah, I do. I was surprised to see Trevor Lawrence touchdown props on the books this week. You can get him under one passing touchdown is plus 185, again, plus nice plus money on that. And then under 1.5 passing touchdowns is minus 230. So the VIG there, not very good. But I think both of these are enticing, and it's going to depend which book you're at, but I like them both. Look, he hasn't thrown more than one touchdown in a game since week one. Remember that game against Houston in garbage time? He threw three. Since then, he has zero or one in every single game. He has a total of seven during his last 15 games, which is almost unheard of. So, again, you can get under 1.5 at pretty ugly juice. But, again, you put $100 on that, you can net 40. I mean, it's hard to pass on here against Indianapolis. You know, and he also has thrown exactly zero passing touchdowns in half of his games, and you can get that at plus 185. So, you know, as you sort of mentioned there, the Colts do have incentive this week. They're playing – you know, they'll clinch a playoff spot with a win in this game. They're going to try to put up points and win this. They're going to play strong defense. The starters will be out there and trying to shut down Jacksonville. So they have allowed a lot of passing touchdowns this year, which is probably why we're getting better, you know, or getting juice here. That's, you know, kind of enticing, but at the same time, they've held five of their last seven opponents below two passing touchdowns, right? So a lot of that was early in the season where they struggled. They haven't given up as much as of late. One of the two that they didn't allow a passing touchdown to over the past few weeks was Lawrence. He had zero against him in week 10. So we've already seen them shut him down. I like these a lot. You know, it depends on which book you're at, but either one is enticing to me.
Pittsburgh and the Baltimore Ravens, Najee Harris, love the workload that he's getting. And I think we'll see more of the same against the Ravens. I've got over 71.5 rushing yards. I'm looking for the over in rushing attempts as well. More than likely, I will take that if the number is enticing. And with Deontay Johnson out right now because of COVID, I'm going to keep an eye on that. If Deontay Johnson is out, I'd play the over in rushing and receiving yards for Harris. Baltimore Ravens defense, their weakness is those short intermittent passes. And so that's something that I think Harris and Ben Roethlisberger could take advantage of with him coming out of the backfield. Again, if Johnson is out, those are my plays in this one. I know you have a Pittsburgh Steeler play here as well, right?
Yeah. And it aligns with what you're talking about, right? Deontay Johnson, probably not going to play in this one based on when he was placed on the COVID list. So I'm liking Chase Claypool over 57.5 receiving yards. look, he's gotten to 43% of the time this year, and that was with Deontay Johnson soaking up 10.5 targets per game. You know, you look back at week three, Deontay Johnson also missed that game. Claypool was targeted 14 times in that game. That was a career high of 96 yards in that one. I know that his production has been kind of weak lately, 17 yards on 9 targets last week with that super conservative game by Big Ben, but his average depth of target was 9 yards and his average route depth in that game was 10.1. So it's not like it was just short area. He was downfield, 9-10 yards downfield being targeted. So if he does continue to see or gets the double digit targets in this game again, which he should be able to get to this mark. Keep in mind too, great matchup. Baltimore overloaded with injuries in the secondary. They've allowed the second most yards and the worst yards per catch and yards per target to wide receivers this season. 22 wide receivers have reached 58 yards against the Ravens this season. That includes 5 during their last 2 games. So I'm liking Claypool here as Pittsburgh's number one receiver.
For the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs going up against the Jets. I've got Josh Allen over 1.5 touchdown passes. Also, incentive here for Stephon Diggs over receptions. Now, that number has not been released yet, but I can tell you that if he gets 6 receptions in this game, his 2022 and 2023 base salary increases by $1.5 million.
Wow.
So I do believe that he's going to be heavily targeted, and I do believe that he will reach that 6. So if it comes in at 5.5, I'm definitely going over there. Also, Zach Wilson under an interception. Zach Wilson has been playing quite good as of late, and he has not tossed an interception in his last 2 games. And you could get that at plus 150. So Zach Wilson under an interception at plus 150. For the Rams, this is one way to keep Odell Beckham Jr. happy, and that is target him not only in the red zone, but in the end zone. And sure enough, that's what Sean McVay has done. He has 6 touchdowns in his last 7 games with the Rams. And so I think that that streak continues. And I think Sean McVay continues to target him in the end zone, not just the red zone. So anytime touchdown for Odell Beckham Jr. What do you have in this Rams 49ers matchup?
Yeah, first of all, I'm hoping for a Beckham touchdown as well, because that's the only prop from my preseason article that's still up for grabs, right? So if he scores a touchdown, I get 13-5 in that column. So I'm with you on that one. I hope that one plays out. The one I'm going with is another Rams wide receiver here. And again, this is the incentives you're talking about. Kupp needs 136 to break Calvin Johnson's single season receiving yardage mark. His receiving line opened at 125.5. That's below the line he needs, but the line is sunk. It's down to 116.5. And keep this in mind, you know, I've been tracking props all season long, and the highest receiving yardage prop that I've charted through week 17 is 113.5. So even with Kupp's line coming down, it's still 3 yards above that line. It's not a line he gets too often. And so it makes this one really tricky. Look, Kupp has had a line above 96 yards 4 times this season, and he's hit it only once. So as good as he has been, it's still really hard to get to this mark. If you bet the over, you're betting on him essentially breaking this record. You think he's going to get close or break the single season receiving yardage record. It is a good matchup. The 49ers are dealing with a lot of COVID issues in their secondary right now, and they were already struggling. So that's interesting. But keep in mind also, the 49ers have only allowed 117 yards to 4 different players this year, right? One of them was Kupp. He got to 122. But again, that's right in the vicinity. So look, you know me, Anita, if it's an extreme low or an extreme high, I'm probably going to go against it, right? It's just history tells us it's unlikely that players can hit those marks and they'll regress to the mean. So I'm taking the under 116.5 receiving yards here. Keep in mind too, this is a meaningful game for both teams, right? This isn't like the Rams will come out and have some fun and just force feed the ball and who cares if they win or lose, they'll get these guys their records. They have to win this game for seeding purposes. Mm-hmm. Also on the other side, the 49ers need to win to make the playoffs. This is a big game for them. So this isn't going to be like one of the preseason environments, just flinging it around. A lot of motivation on both sides. So again, I'll lean under.
And you have a 49ers play as well, right?
Yes. Debo, I'm going over 52.5 receiving yards for Debo Samuel. You can get this at even money, which is a surprise because He's gone over this mark in 73% of his games this season. And remember, that includes weeks 11 to 14 when he wasn't really playing wide receiver, right? During that span, he had 22 carries and only 7 targets. If we exclude that game, because he's kind of, it's changed now. Now he's back to playing receiver more often, focused on that. If we exclude those three games from midseason, he's hit 53 yards in 11 of 12 games. And the only exception was 52 yards back in week 3. He just missed it. So I can't believe we can get this at even money. Jimmy Garoppolo will be back. It adds volume to the passing game. He got it last week. He got this yardage total last week with Trey Lance in there. And it's the Rams who, yes, they're good defensively, but they face the fifth most wide receiver targets this season and a lot of the eighth most yards. Teams throw it against them a lot. So, again, same stat as with that I used earlier. 22 wideouts have reached 53 yards against them this season. That is a big number. I'm surprised the Debo number is this low. It's already going up. It opened at 47.5, so get him while you can.
Miami and the Patriots love Jacoby Myers. I'm going to play the overs in receptions as well as yards against man coverage and teams that blitz. Mac Jones looks his way often. So I'm going over with Myers. Also, Gesicki, tight end for the Miami Dolphins, going up against New England. New England's defense number one against opposing tight ends. So I'm going to go under in those prop bets, whether it's receptions or yards. Bucks. And the one play here, again, I'm going back to an incentive. You've got Gronk. There's no AB, as we know. Godwin, as we know, is out. Gronk, I think, is going to be heavily targeted. He needs to have 7 receptions and I want to say over 135 receiving yards. And if that happens, he gets an extra $1 million in incentives. Not sure if he'll reach it or not, but I do believe he's going to be heavily targeted. So I'm going to play a lot of overs with Gronk, over receptions, over yards, and anytime touchdown for the Bucs. And last but not least for me, the Chargers and the Raiders, the Sunday night game, I'm going Josh Jacobs over rushing attempts as well. He's become the focal point in that backfield. He's averaging 20 touches a game. And so, and one thing that we know about the Chargers, even though their rush defense has been better as of late, it's still not great. And in order to beat the Chargers, you need to run the football. And I think Josh Jacobs will be a heavy focus for the Raiders. What do you have in this matchup?
So I think the books are a little high on the Chargers passing game this week. So I'm going under on a couple of receivers here. Keenan Allen under 6.5 catches. We can get this at plus 105. Look, he's gotten to 7 only 47% of the time this season. And a lot of that happened before December. He's fallen short of 7 catches in 4 straight games. And he actually has exactly 4 catches in his last 2 games. You're going up against the Raiders. You might think that's a good matchup, but they've allowed the 8th fewest catches to wide receivers this season. And only 6 have even gotten to, got to 7 catches against them this season. So I'll take the under, a plus money there. And the other one, kind of a low key one here. Jalen Guyton under 19.5 receiving yards. He's been short of 20 in 2/3 of his games this season. He's not targeted very often. He plays about half the snaps. And he's trending down, right? He's trending down. He has 2 targets in each of his last 2 games. The reason, they're using Josh Palmer more. They're working him more into this offense. He's a really impressive rookie. They like him, and he's getting more work. Guyton also targeted often in the short area. I know he's kind of known as, you know, occasionally he has those big, like, long 70-yard touchdowns, but his average depth of target is actually well below average at 8.9. So, again, being in the short area, barely getting targeted, yes, he could hit one big play and it hurts you here, but the odds are he will fall short of 20 yards. So I like the under.
And last but not least, you've got to play in the Texans game as well, right?
Yeah. How about Rex Burkhead, right? He's been kind of hot in fantasy, or at least he was 2 weeks ago. They had that one big game, but 41.5 rushing yards is the line. I'm going to take the under here. He has been short of this line in 87% of his games this season. That includes 13 straight games to open the season. Now, for about half the season, he was barely playing. Fine, we have to include that. But even once he took over as the lead back, he was averaging 13 carries a game and was held below 42 yards in 5 straight games, all of them until 2 weeks ago when he had that big game against the Chargers, who, as you mentioned before, bad against the run. And they were also missing a ton of players due to the COVID list that week as well. So, Burkhead has gotten over this line the last 2 weeks, barely did last week, but David Johnson was out. He'll be back. And he's going up against the Titans this week. This is a much tougher matchup. They've allowed the second fewest rushing yards and the 50 lowest yards per carry to running backs this season. Burkhead did fall short of this mark on 18 carries against them back in week 11. So unless the Texans upset them again and they're just running out the clock and keep and Burkhead gets to 17, 18, 19, 20 carries again, I think it's a long shot he will get to this mark. It's just the efficiency behind that line has been brutal this year. So I think you fade what we've seen from them the last 2 weeks and take the under.
Again, you know, we apologize, but it is what it is. And we're in a situation where there's COVID is running rampant and it is week 18. So a lot of these lines aren't posted yet, but at least hopefully in listening to this podcast, we've given you an idea of which side we're on and where we're leaning. And you just got to keep an eye on, you know, what gets posted and when. Hopefully more sooner than later. But that's it for today. We appreciate you tuning in. Please do us a favor. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow. If you're enjoying the show, it helps us out tremendously. And so everybody, again, from Mike Clay, Anita Marks, wishing you a very happy new year and a very prosperous 2022. That's for sure. We'll talk to you guys next week.